side up. From Acts 17:6, it says, "When they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some of the brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out, 'These who have turned the world upside down have come here too.'" Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We ask that you bless it to us, open our hearts and our minds and our spirit, and help us to have an understanding, Lord, that comes from you. Open our eyes that we might see, ears that hear, Lord. And we pray, Lord, open our hearts. We ask you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit to move among us as we learn together. And we thank you for all that you do for us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please have a seat. Well, we're beginning a series this morning. And of course, if you're going to start something, it should start in the beginning. So we're going to start right out with Genesis. We'll be going down through history, through civilizations. We'll be going down through comparative ancient religions and some of our modern day religions. And I think we're going to have a lot of answers, to questions that a lot of people ask. You know, how do we end up with so many different ideas of who God is and what God is and everything else? Where'd they come from? We're going to answer some of those questions for you with the Word of God. But this morning we're going to start out right in the beginning. When something has been out of place for a very long time, it eventually will be accepted as normal. And when you're in outer space or under the very deep water, there often is no reference to keep you oriented to which way is up and which way is down. We take for granted the pull of gravity that constantly reminds us down is toward the pull. In weightless situations without light, there's no references. We can come to accept that up is actually down and down is up. And because of the insistence of our betters that we accept their ideas of truth, and because our ungodly superiors have written the Word of God out of secular curriculums and secular society, we're in a state of disorientation where we believe the lies of this secular propaganda society and we're ignorant to or inclined to reject the truths of the Bible. I like to use the truth of the Word of God to flip this world right side up. And even if this present civilization chooses to live upside down, I, for one, refuse. Truth is powerful, and biblical truth will set you free. The Bible flips things right side up. So let's get flipping this morning. And what better place to begin than at the beginning? Genesis means beginning. And the creation account recorded in Scripture in the beginning has had several interpretations. What one believes about the age of the earth based on Scripture has nothing to do with understanding and accepting orthodox teaching and timeless doctrines for believers, has nothing to do with our great salvation. The most promoted teaching in regard to creation is what is referred to as the young earth. Most of us have learned that. The earth is at most 10,000 years old, and God created everything in six literal 24-hour periods systematically and rested on the seventh day from all his work. And now there's tons more information and detail in these passages. Getting down to actual word meaning, taking the big picture perusal, understanding the Hebrew idioms and language structure brings us to some questions. And first, I need us to put on our listening ears and don't be distracted. If God was creating the earth out of nothing, why in the beginning verses do we see what seems to be kind of a chaotic mess? It should have started with the first day being created as this formless, wet, chaotic mass with the Holy Spirit hovering over it, and then Day two would describe how it began to take shape. But what we see is before God even begins his creative work, there already exists this already created, for lack of a better word, mess. So let's read it. Genesis 1, 1 through 3 says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light." So we have to establish a particular device used in Hebrew writing. It is the use of the word "and" to act as a segue from one point to another, and as a separator of time and events. The word "and" is used as a separator of events and times. It's used 152 times in Genesis chapters 1 and 2, as in God separated the light from the darkness and so forth. Regarding this, the passage which states, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth," and "God created the earth in the beginning." And like everything God does, it would have been created beautifully. After this statement, with the big "and" as the separator of time and events, the description of the earth is destruction. So let's look at the words used to convey it to us. It says, "And the earth was without form and void." Without form is the Hebrew word tohu, which means waste and destruction. And the word "void" means destroyed, tohu vabohu. And the other places it's always used in regard to destruction as a result of the judgment of God. And it goes on, "And darkness was on the face of the deep." This deep meaning is the word abuso or abyss, a term used in other places as the abode of the damned. So if God created the earth beautiful and perfect, how did it get like this? Sometimes we have to go back to the prophets. The prophets, inspired by the Holy Spirit, gave the prophets the ability many times to see into the future. But also, he gave them the ability to look into the past. Isaiah 45:18 says, "For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else." The word "vain" is the same Hebrew word used in the description of the destroyed earth, which is tohu. It means he didn't create the earth formless and void or in confusion or unreality or a wasteland or a place of chaos. So this chaotic condition of the earth, where the earth, translated dry land, is overrun by a flood. If God didn't originally create it this way, how did we get here? Well, Revelation 12:7 gives us a hint with John looking back, and he says, "And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, and neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." Prophecy is often a stream of consciousness coming from the Holy Spirit, and a prophet would have many times a scribe with him who would write down what God was revealing to him. In other words, it doesn't always come out chronologically, and it's often separated by the "and," so that passages can be disconnected from one another, so the prophet can be talking about a current or future event and then go right into a new passage where the prophet is looking back in time or even before biblical or recorded history. And as you know, Moses was not present at the creation of the earth or any time up to his birth well after in history, as you know, well after the birth of Noah, Moses came, and yet he wrote the book of Genesis, looking back under inspiration of the Holy Spirit to give us the story of how everything came to be. It's the prophet and the apostle, John the Revelator, that relays this information about war in heaven. Another instance from prophecy, looking back into the dateless past, is from Isaiah 14:12. It says to us, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the mount of the congregation, above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yea, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." And Ezekiel 28:13 says, "Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, the topaz, and the diamond, the beryl and the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire and the emerald, and the carbuncle and the gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created until iniquity was found in thee. And by the multitudes of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire." Just as a side issue here, a lot of people have taken this where it says, "The workmanship of thy tabrets and thy pipes was prepared in thee." And they say that those are musical instruments that were built into Lucifer, and that's why rock music is so bad, because it comes from Satan and he with all that stuff. But if you really do a word study about this passage of scripture and you read what tabrets are and the other thing, pipes and tabrets, the pipes they're talking about is the piping that a jeweler might use. And the tabaret is called a bezel. That's where we get Beelzebub or Beelzebub from. The bezel would be the thing that would be on the end of the pipe, and the purpose of that bezel would be to hold a precious stone. So all that's being talked about here by the prophet is that that he has all of the workmanship he needs to support these different stones that are named, and they're really the stones that end up being on the high priest, as we read further into the Old Testament. This Lucifer, as is the way with God throughout Scripture, is renamed Satan and the devil after his fall. He convinces a third of the angels to rebel against God with him, and as a result, there's war in heaven, as we read in Revelation. And can you imagine the kind of power released by the heavenly warrior angelic beings? God puts down this rebellion. And listen carefully to this. Isaiah 14:12-15. "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations?" These two words are very important in understanding this whole concept. Weaken and nations. Weaken in the original language means to prostrate oneself. In other words, to worship. And nation in this word is the word goyim, what the Hebrews referred to as the nations of people. As part of the old earth theory, the belief is that there were people on this earth after the original creation. And because they were weakened by being made to worship Lucifer, God put down the heavenly rebellion and judged the earth and destroyed it. Tohu vabohu, waste and destruction, what we see in the very first and second verse of Genesis. With a flood, a destructive flood. We'll call this Lucifer's flood. Each one assigned to, as a potential reason for this assignment of Lucifer as the anointed cherub who covers, from the passage in Ezekiel, some people believe, being there are three archangels, Michael, Gabriel, and Lucifer, each one assigned to a member of the triune God. Gabriel's name, which means warrior of God, Michael meaning next to God, and Lucifer meaning the light bearer. Gabriel as a warrior of God may have been assigned to God the Holy Spirit, who is the power of God. And Michael as named next to God, assigned to the Father, and Lucifer, the light bearer, before his fall, was assigned to Jesus, the light of the world, to oversee the earth until sin was found in Lucifer. Now, when Lucifer ruled over the earth and deceived and caused the people to sin and worship him and do his evil bidding, that world, and the word world that's used in these passages of Scripture is the word meaning, it's the word cosmos, which is actually translated social order. It's not talking about the physical world. It's talking about the social order of that time. And that social order was destroyed. How do we know that this Lucifer, the beautiful shining one who deceived the nations, is from a civilization which came before this present age, which started with Adam and Eve? Because the very beginning, when he comes to deceive Eve, we see our very first look at him, he's no longer Lucifer. He is now a fallen creature appearing as a serpent. And this concept of an old earth and a civilization that predates this present world started with Adam and Eve, if true, could resolve many unanswered questions. We have no explanation for where demons come from. I know if you notice, you read through the New Testament, Jesus shows up and there's demonic activity all over the place. And he took care of it. He handled it. It says demons are not fallen angels because angels have their own spiritual bodies, which their inner soul and spirit dwell. Demons are disembodied spirits, and they require a host for habitation. Is it possible that these disembodied spirits are from the flood, judged people of the pre-Adamic civilization destroyed by Lucifer, and now they work in concert with Lucifer and the angels who fell with him? That's just a thought. But we have a lot of other things, questions that are answered as well. One thing we have to be careful of not doing is we need to, by the Holy Spirit, recognize truth when we hear it. And we can't refuse to recognize things that are true just because they come from people we don't like or don't agree with us or whatever. So most of the scientific, and I'm going to say the pop scientific community, because they're the ones that have the ear of the world, the social order, and they're the ones who make all the expressions and statements and write the position papers, people who have different opinions from them, things that may support the Bible, they're not allowed. And we've got a whole video about that we could show you, but it's called No Intelligence Allowed. If you have an opinion that would support intelligent design or anything like that, you can't get a position paper published. They won't do it. So my point is, that just because the other side says the earth is old, and we say those are atheists and we don't agree with anything they say, we just reject out of hand whatever they come up with. There are some good scientists working out there, and they can tell us some things that we might be able to say, wow, you know, I'm going to say something I think is very important. True science will always support the Bible. True science will always support the Bible. So, if there was a Luciferic flood, I also want to just pause here for a second and say that when the Bible says, in the beginning God created, that word created is the word bara. It's the same as the Greek word ex nihilo. It means to make out of nothing. In other words, there was nothing and God spoke, and then there was everything that he wanted. He is able to create out of nothing, ex nihilo or bara. Once we get past into the next section where it says, let there be light, that word is not bara, or to create out of nothing. It's the word that let means to make to happen from already created materials, to allow. In other words, God was saying, when he said, let there be light, he let the light shine again. The sun was there, it just wasn't giving its light. And God has done that down through history many times. And let there be whatever, you know, let there be dry land, and the waters immediately go back and the dry land appears. Then that's what earth means. Earth means dry land. So if there was a Luciferic flood in the dateless past, and there was a flood of Noah, we would expect to find distinctions in the scriptures regarding floods. And we don't have time for a comprehensive study of floods and destruction, but let's just look at a couple of scriptures. We know the scriptures that belong to Noah. Here are some that we need to consider that seem not to be Noah's flood. Jeremiah 4:23 says, I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form, tohu, and void, bohu. In other words, destruction and waste. And the heavens, and they had no light. The heavens are there, but they have no light. And I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled, and all the hills moved lightly. And I beheld, and lo, there was no man, and all the birds of the heavens were fled. I beheld, and lo, the fruitful place was a wilderness, and all the cities thereof were broken down at the presence of the Lord and his fierce anger. Now, I agree that there's no mention in this verse or passage of how the earth got this way, but it is definitely by judgment of God, and the language sounds very much like the description of the earth in the beginning of Genesis. And that's why I include it. Psalm 104, 5 through 9 says, who laid the foundation of the earth that it should not be removed forever? Thou covered it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At thy rebuke they fled. At the voice of thy thunder they hasted away. They go up to the mountains, they go down to the valleys, unto the place which thou hast founded for them. Thou hast set a bound that they may not pass over, that they turn not again to cover the earth. 2 Peter, chapter 3, starting at verse 5. For this they are willingly ignorant of, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. Now I want you to consider this passage as pertaining to this pre-Adamic social order. And then from Adam forward, this next passage applies to the new world or social order. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved under fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. God didn't do away with the social order in Noah's flood. 8 people carried it through the flood. And as he carried the social order of Adam through the flood with 7 other individuals and continued that order on the other side, God's order of the flood. The point is, this passage is that the social order that then was could not be carried through Lucifer's flood because everything was destroyed and perished, and not so in Noah's flood. So this passage refers to the flood of Lucifer, which was the world that then was. I just want to take the time. There's a lot of distinctions in these 2 different flood passages. In Noah's flood, the water abated over a long period of time naturally. In Lucifer's flood, if we look at it that way, in Lucifer's flood, it tells us that God spoke and it just immediately, he rebuked it. So what do you rebuke things for no reason? You rebuke things because they're evil or they're out of proper order or whatever, and God was putting them back in order. So when he rebuked that flood, it didn't take forever. It disappeared immediately, and God just began to call things into order. I'd like to finish with this passage out of my study Bible here. It says, "We therefore conclude that Genesis 1:1-2 describes a pre-Adamic world that was destroyed in a flood which necessitated the making of the present Adamite world so that the original purpose of God concerning the earth could be realized." And I'll give you scripture verses with these. Isaiah 45:18. It's further revealed in Genesis 1:2 that the Spirit of God began to move upon the flooded earth and in the darkness to restore the dry land as it was before the flood. And this also confirms the fact of a pre-Adamic world which was destroyed, making it necessary to restore the earth to a second habitable state, as in the 6 days of creation. In Scripture, all instances of obscuring the sun and bringing consequent darkness and the 2 past cases of universal floods are revealed to be the result of judgment, not creation. All predictions of such future darkness depict judgment. Matthew 8:12, 24, 29-31, Revelation 6:12-17, and there's many more. Could we say that Genesis 1:2 is an exception and that the only place in Scripture where darkness and universal flood on the earth are not an act of judgment? If then, as in other cases, these are a result of judgment, Genesis 1:2 definitely proves there was a pre-Adamic world which was destroyed and left darkness and flood. No one questions the flood of Noah's time being an act of judgment passed upon free moral agents because of sin, and no one doubts the existence of pre-Adamite world, which was destroyed by the darkness and the flood of Genesis 1:2. That this was even a worse flood than the one of Noah's time and an act of greater judgment in punishment of more horrible sins is clear from the outline of the contrast below. And they give 20 contrasts between the two different floods. I just want to say in closing, and I know this is, it may have been kind of a dry toast lesson that we gave this morning. It's a lot of detail and things you may not have experienced before. But the one thing that always comes to my mind is, if the world is 10,000 years old, as the young earth theory, and it is a theory, puts it, then God would have to have created the earth with a great amount of evidence of it being old. In other words, he made it so it looked old, very old. And we can find evidence of that all over the place. So If that's the case, then God is sort of lying to us. If you present something that isn't real, in other words, it isn't the real case, and you present it so it makes it look like, look, this is the earth. I'm making it look like it's really old, but it's really not. It's just, you know, it's really 10,000 years old. That's not straight up and honest. And I believe we serve an honest God. So I think questions about these things are valid, and I think they're important, and I think they're things that we should be talking about. We should be working out. The Bible says that Paul prayed that we would all be in unity. And the only way you can do that is to do what the world tells you not to do. Talk about the hard stuff. Isn't it funny they tell you don't talk about politics and religion? And what are the two things that have the biggest impact on our lives? The order that we have from God and our authority from God and the things that we have to put up with by the authority that's over us here on earth. So we need to have these discussions. Going forward here, we're going to talk about some other things from the Word of God that people don't like to talk about, but we don't skip over stuff here at Truth Bible Fellowship. We tackle the hard stuff. And I think we're going to learn a great deal about what's really going on here in the world. And we're not talking about conspiracy theories. We're talking about the Word of God. So if you'll pray with me this morning. Father, we thank you so much for your Word. And we thank you, Lord, that you help us work our way through these truths and you open our eyes to so many things, Lord. We thank you that you love us and you do guide us. And your Word tells us, Lord, if we ask you for wisdom, you give it to us and you do it without making us feel ashamed. And that is a good Father. Thank you, Father, for that. We just ask that your Holy Spirit continues to guide us. Give us strength for this next week that's coming up. Give us wisdom in what to do. Guide and direct us. And Lord, let us experience your love in powerful ways. Lord, we ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. And God bless you all.